starting a new series this morning. We're going to spend the next couple of weeks, Lord willing, just on prayer and the power of prayer. And this morning, we're going to look very specifically at the prayer of blessing. There are many different prayers recorded for us in the Bible. You'll find prayers of deliverance, prayers of healing, and then prayers of blessing. And there are a number of people who prayed those prayers, and probably three of the most significant ones, you'll find Jacob prayed that prayer in the very first book of the Bible in Genesis chapter 32. He prays a prayer of blessing, that God would bless him. And it's amazing to see. I wish I had time to just spend a bit of time just on his story, but you can go and read that, and you'll see in Genesis just God's blessing upon his life. And then you'll find later on as well, David prays that prayer, and it's recorded for us in Psalm 67. And then Jabez also prays a very similar prayer, which is recorded in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And it's that portion of Scripture in 1 Chronicles that I quickly want to focus in this morning and have a look at that. Because do you know that it's okay to ask for God's blessing? It's okay, by the way. You don't have to shrink away and say, oh no, you know, that's very selfish. No, God wants us to ask for the blessing, and I'll show you that in a couple of moments' time. And it's very biblical, and it's actually very honorable to do that. Because if we don't, it's actually very selfish. And prideful and arrogant, where we're saying, I don't need your blessing. I can do it on my own. I'm cool. I'm fine. Where when you and I come humbly and we say, Lord, I actually can't do this on my own. I need your hand and I need your blessing upon my life. And so that's what we're praying, and that's what we're asking when we come and ask God's blessing. Now, we're going to look at this portion of Scripture here in Chronicles. And by the way, if you have new Christian friends, people who've just given their lives to the Lord, never tell them to start reading the Bible in 1 Chronicles. Or Leviticus, or Revelation for that matter. Probably some of the most difficult books in the Bible. Just make a note of that quickly. Never tell them that. Why not Chronicles? Because it starts off with basically a genealogy, the longest genealogy in the Bible. It's 9 chapters of name upon name upon name, and the problem is names you and I cannot pronounce, all right? And so it, in a way, it means nothing to us, but I guess if you do want to know where some of the main characters in the Bible fit in, it's great. You're going to have a look there, and you can see, obviously, Adam and then exactly where does Abraham fit in? And then down the line, it covers all the way through to David and his grandchildren. And it's wonderful if that's what you're looking for, all right? But otherwise, you know, you read through that and it's 600 names, 9 chapters. It spans a time period of 3,000 years, all right? So it's quite tough. And so what's interesting here in these 600 names is you'll find that these different people are mentioned, and nothing more is mentioned about them except their name. It doesn't tell us what they did, what they didn't do, how they stood out or anything like that. It just gives us their names. And then what's interesting is halfway through this list of names, the author Ezra stops. It's almost as if God stops. I can just picture, and Ezra is busy documenting all of this and writing all of it down. And then God stops Ezra and says, whoa, hang on. Tell them about Jabez. They got to know about Jabez. I can just see God's excitement. And so he stops in this list and he zooms in on Jabez, and just for a line or two, tells us a little bit more about it, because God knows that you and I are going to need it today. And so it was given specifically for us. And so let's quickly have a look and see. And we start reading in verse 9, and it's two verses really. Verse 9, now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. And so God granted him what he requested. All right, so those two verses quickly. And all I want to do this morning is just unpack it quickly for us and see, how does this apply to your and my life today? Is there something that we can apply? And we're going to do that. So let's go and have a look at verse 9. Verse 9 says, his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. Now, I thought childbirth was always associated with pain. So what's the big deal here? All right. But clearly it was. This was pain probably on a whole different level. Maybe there was some complications or stuff like that. And so she calls him Jabez, which means pain or sorrow. And what a terrible thing to do to your child. You know, old pain, old sorrow, old, you know, you just old difficulty, you know. Johnny, go and call old pain over there. I mean, how terrible is that? And how many of you know that your name actually becomes your destiny? Come on, you live that. And so she gave him the destiny of pain and sorrow. But the good news today, God can change your destiny. God can change your destiny. Doesn't matter how you've grown up or your background. Doesn't matter what you've done or what you haven't done. If you'll come and ask God, he can change that. And this is what Jabez did. Jabez obviously looked at his life and he's branded pain. You're a loser. And Jabez comes and says, God, please, you've got to change this. And so this is the prayer, and we read from verse 10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me. And that wasn't good enough. He says, indeed, God, I don't need just a little bit of blessing. God, I need your blessing big time, and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. And then Ezra says, this is beautiful. So God granted him what he requested. And there's a reason it's in Scripture for you and me today. And so I want you to notice four things that he asked God. God, that you would bless me, enlarge my territory, that your hand would be upon me, and that you would keep me from evil. Basically, those four things. That's what he asks God. And so let's just quickly have a look at those four things just individually. We start with the first one, that you would bless me indeed. Remember we said three people in the Bible that prayed this. Jacob prayed this. David prayed it. And now Jabez comes and he prays this as well. And so it's amazing when you see this. But what I want you to see today is that you've got to ask for it. The takeaway here today is you've got to ask for God's blessing. James says this in chapter 4, verse 2, you have not because you ask not. And so you and I have got to come to God and ask for the blessing and say, God, I need your blessing. God, I can't do this on my own. God, I want what you have for my life. And let me just warn you up front and just say to you, Satan will try and discourage you, try and keep you from God's blessings. So he'll whisper stuff in your ear like, who do you think you are? Why would God want to bless you? I mean, you haven't even read your Bible this past week. Why would? And you're still battling with that same bad habit that you've been battling with for a long time. And besides, you're already blessed. Have you looked at so many other people in our country, and now you want to come and you want to ask for more blessing? Or you know what he'll say to you? Ah, this is just one of those prosperity messages today. I just switch off. Guess what's happening? He's trying to keep you from what God has for you. This was penned very specifically way back then, so that you and I today can sit up and take note and say, wow, God wants me to ask for this. There's a reason God wants us to do this. And by the way, it wasn't only James that tells us to ask. James says, you have not because you ask not. Ask God, come on. Then Jesus comes along and Jesus says, he says, ask. And when you're done asking, seek. Seek. And then when you're done with that, man, you keep on knocking. So in other words, keep on asking. There's an element of persistence. Let's read it quickly. Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Notice it doesn't say ask and maybe you'll receive. It says if you ask, it will be given. And if you seek, you will find. Knock and the door will be opened, for everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be open. Like, wow. He says it's going to happen. It's going to happen if you'll trust God. And then he takes it a step further and he reveals to us just a little bit about the heart of God. And that's important because when you and I understand God's heart, it gives us liberty to come and ask. When God is like just this, it's like somebody saying to you at work, for instance, you can go and ask the boss. He's generous. He will help you. How do you know? Because I've been here the last 10 years. I've seen it. Go and ask him. Oh, you're more likely to go than somebody that says, ah, don't even bother. He's so mean and stingy. He'll never help you. All right? And so what Jesus is saying, he's saying, you can go and ask. Listen to what he says here. He says, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? He says, is anybody that mean to do that? Of course not. He says, or if he asks for fish, will give him a snake? Okay, there I want to put up my hand and say, if my son asks for fish, boy, the burger is better. Don't go for the fish. Burger's better. All right. But not the snake, okay. All right, Jesus, I get your point. If you then, though you are evil, another word for that is human, that's what he's saying. If you then, though you are human, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Come on, you and I, we got a heart for our kids. We want the best for them. And he's saying, if you who are just human want to give good and want the best for your children, how much more your Heavenly Father? You know what he's saying to us? God's heart is to bless you, by the way. God's heart is good toward you. He wants to bless you. But you see, you've got to ask. You've got to come and ask. And so if you hear nothing else today, I want you to hear this. God wants to bless you, but you've got to ask for the blessing. That's it. That's the central thought of what I want to share with you today. And that's what you're going to see here in Scripture. Let me give you three scriptures quickly, just on the blessing and God's heart, just to show you. For those of you taking notes, jot down just the references, because I'm going to run through it quickly. Psalm 37, verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord. So in other words, put God first. That's what he's saying. And he shall give you the desires of your heart. Not of his heart, not what God thinks, but there's some desires, some dreams that you and I have. And he says, if you put God first, he says he's got no problem to bless you with your own heart's desire. Jeremiah 29:11, we know this so well. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Again, just reveals God's heart. Ephesians 1 verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, it's already happened, in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. That's God's heart. God's heart is to bless his children. But the principle that we learn from Jabez is that we've got to come and ask. And so I can just say to you, this is something that I pray almost on a daily basis. Some days I forget, but I'm telling you, I just come and I ask God, God, I need your blessing upon my life, that you enlarge my territory. Your hand would be upon me and keep me, Lord, from evil, that I may not hurt other people. Keep me, Lord. And so I pray that all the time. And so I'd hate to get to heaven one day and see all the blessings that God had for me, and God say, it was yours. I was waiting for you to ask. But you never asked. I wanted to give it to you. And then he says this, let's move on. He says, enlarge my territory. What is our territory? It's our sphere of influence. It's, you could say, it's everything we do and everywhere we go and everyone we come into contact with. It's really, it's all the people in our lives. And so it's the people in your workplace. It's the people that you exercise with, whether it's gym or cycling or running or whatever it is, or bowls even. It's those group of people, all right. It's the people in your small group. That's your sphere of influence. And so what he's saying here is, you see, this is not a selfish prayer really. He's saying, God, increase my influence that I may touch people for your kingdom's sake. That my life would make a difference. Because it's not just all about me. I want my life to make a difference. And then he says this, that your hand would be upon me. What does that mean? God's hand is God's help. This is the dependence part of the prayer. This is the part where we say, God, I really can't do this without you. Because as you bless me and you increase my territory, my influence, I'm really going to need your help. I really can't do this on my own. Isn't this what Moses prayed? In Exodus 33, he says, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. He's saying, if your hand is not with us, if you don't help us, he says, God, I don't want to go anywhere. I don't want to get involved. I can't lead these people. I can't take more ground because I desperately need your help. Why do you think we need to ask God for help? Because he's placed us in a world that's a little bit too big for us. And sometimes we find ourselves, you could almost say, in the deep end. You find yourself a little bit over your head. And so I remember when I started off, I came from business and then I started here in the church, I was in the deep end. And then later on, when I started preaching, I was even deeper. And then later on, when I started leading the team and leading the church again, I was in the deep end. And now I find myself in a building project where we're building a new church and a whole new campus. And again, I'm even deeper. And so what happens? Every single time that happens, man, God, I need your hand. I need your help. Lord, don't you want to just put both hands on me? I need that. And so that's what happens when we ask for God's hand. All right. And so let me give you three more scriptures quickly. In Acts chapter 11, the Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. And so what happened? They experienced tremendous success because of God's hand. Isaiah 48 says, it was my hand that laid the foundations of the earth, my right hand that spread out the heavens above. And when I call out the stars, they all appear in order. It's referring to God's power, the creativity of God. That's all his hand. And then Isaiah 41, fear not, for I'm with you. Be not dismayed, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you. And I will help. Remember we said God's hand is God's help. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And so basically what Jabez is saying, God, I need your help. I need your wisdom, your discernment, your direction, your protection, your provision, your guidance. God, I need your help. All right, let's move on. And then he prays this. He says, and keep me from evil. Didn't Jesus tell us to pray something very similar in the Lord's Prayer when he says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one? You see, so often when God starts blessing us, that very blessing becomes a distraction. And instead of walking close to God, what happens? We become distracted. And we actually start doing our own thing. And sometimes we get involved in some evil stuff. Have you seen somebody where God really blesses them, blesses their business, blesses their career? The career just goes to the next level. It just takes off. The business just takes off. Down the line, they've got some promotion or another business. It's just they're doing so well. And then they start getting involved in stuff that maybe they shouldn't. And you look at it and you think, you shouldn't be getting involved. Or they start becoming arrogant. How often have you seen that? Where with success comes a bit of arrogance and a bit of pride. Like, look at me. Look at what I've done. And you know what I've seen so often? Where God sometimes has got to lift his hand from them. Not to hurt them, not at all. Not because he's mean, not at all. But because he loves them and he wants to help them. And he wants to bring them back on track again. And so that's why he's saying, yeah, God, keep me from evil. Because it's so easy in the very blessing when things are going so well to get involved in stuff I shouldn't, or to become a little bit arrogant and a little bit full of pride. And so my prayer, and I've shared this with you before, my prayer is, God, just help me to stay humble. God, protect me from me. Because sometimes I can be my own worst enemy. Sometimes I can walk around and think, look at what I've done. Like Nebuchadnezzar. I never want to do that. And so as the church grows and as my influence increases, I want to just go smaller even and realize this is not me. It's God busy, just busy working through me. And God can change that in a moment. And so let's stay humble. And that's basically what he's praying here. He says, keep me from evil. Keep me from evil. And then he takes it further. He says, that I may not cause pain. Those two go together, by the way. Keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. Because when you and I get involved in something evil, when we get involved in sin, what happens? It has a knock-on effect to the people closest to us. Somehow it doesn't only affect us, but it affects them. So for instance, if a teenager gets involved in the wrong stuff, gets involved in evil stuff, what happens? It has a knock-on effect. It causes pain to the parents, isn't it? If let's say a wife gets involved in an extramarital affair, it has a knock-on effect and it causes pain to the husband, to the children, possibly even her parents. It just has this ripple effect. If a father, a businessman, starts becoming arrogant and cocky and starts using people and stuff like that, and God's got to lift his hand, guess what happens? The whole family feels it. And so it causes pain to the rest of the family. And so our sin always has a knock-on effect. And that's why he's saying, God, help me. That I don't cause evil, get involved in evil, and cause pain to the people around about me. Now, by the way, that doesn't only involve the big sins in our lives. You know, when there's a lot of pride or stuff or an affair or something like that. You know, it could be your words. Could be our words. Have you ever said something and the words are barely out your mouth and you realize I shouldn't have said that? I have just said something evil and it's going to cause pain. Sometimes it's as simple as that. And Jabez is coming, he's saying, God, help me. Help me, help me, help me. I need your blessing and I need your hand, God, and enlarge my territory, but you got to help me that I don't get involved in evil stuff and cause pain to the people around about us. Now let me wrap this up for us. We've gone through it quickly. It's two verses in the Bible. Now I'm not saying this is some kind of magical formula and all you've got to do tomorrow morning is just pray this magical prayer. What I'm saying here, it reveals God's heart, and that's what we got to catch first and foremost. That we serve a God that wants to bless us. We have good hearts toward our children. God has a better heart toward us, but we've got to ask for the blessing. You've got to ask. If you're casual and you never ask, it's almost the equivalent of saying, I'm cool, I'm fine, I can do this on my own. But when you and I come and ask, it shows humility, where we're just saying, God, I've tried and I can't get very far on my own. God, I desperately need you. And so I want to encourage you this morning, ask for God's blessing. Every day, ask for the blessing. And Lord, that you'd enlarge my territory, my sphere of influence. That my life will make a difference, that I will not live my life for myself only. And Lord, then if you bless me and enlarge my territory, God, I'm going to need your help, your hand. Make the right decisions. Know what to do, when to do. Help me, Lord. And along the way, I'm just human. And I very easily get involved in the wrong stuff. Protect me, Lord, from evil, that I may not cause pain. I'm encouraging you. Do that. Ask for blessing. Ask for breakthrough. Ask for bigger. Don't let the enemy convince you. Who are you? How can you do that? Listen, friends. Your life can stay as small as you are or as big as your God is. You decide. But Scripture tells me that He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think. He's waiting for us just to come humbly and just to say, Lord, I need your blessing. And if you want to start off with that this morning, I want to invite you to stand with me. And I want to pray that prayer with you this morning. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we come before you this morning just very humbly. And first of all, we just want to apologize, repent that we haven't really done this. Maybe for some of us, we've forgotten about it. Oh, we know about it, but we've forgotten. For others of us, Lord, maybe we thought we could do it on our own, and we've discovered we can't. And so we repent and we ask, Lord, please forgive me. And now we come this morning as your children. And very humbly we say, Lord, we ask for your blessing upon our lives. Because when you bless me, my family is blessed. My sphere of influence, the people around me, the team, the church. God, that you would bless me indeed. Enlarge my territory, my sphere of influence, that I may make a difference in your kingdom. I pray for your hand, your help upon me, Lord. I need it. I desperately need it every single day. And then, Lord, keep me from evil, because I can be stupid sometimes and I can say stupid stuff. Lord, keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain to the people around me, but rather to be a blessing to them, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Bless you. See you Wednesday.